All right, this is 11 o'clock. We'll call this 11 o'clock meeting to order. Danny Strahan present. And Jim Stroff is acting presiding commissioner. All right, guys, we have scheduled a work session on the code book. And so what the plan was is to start working page by page on pointing out conflicts, issues, start identifying things, and then we'll start prioritizing based off of what we read and go through, and then just kind of it's one of those work sessions. So, Eddie, you have the current code book. Do you have anything for us? I mean, you weren't given a lot of notice here, so
I have my copy of my code book in front of me. I was under the impression that we were going to deal with the three issues that were presented by Mr. Paulson to the planning board at our 2 months ago, or not our 2 weeks ago. At our meeting and everything, so
I tell you, without all the commissioners present, what I would like to do, and then you guys, Jim can decide or whatever. I would like to go through the code book. I would like to do 10 pages of it this morning. 102 or 105 pages.
100 and something. Book. Yep.
Okay, I'd like to take 10 pages of that, and you read those regulations off. You just read the first 10, and we'll stop you when there's a controversial thing that we think is not understandable or easy for the public to comprehend. And at that point, after the 10 pages, I'm ready to dismiss the meeting and take it those points that we decide are points of interest and let you approach the Planning and Zoning Commission with those points of interest and see if there's anything that they would want to change about it. There's truly an interest out here that the public has about certain issues in the code book. So I'd like to address those, and then that way whenever somebody approaches the podium there and says, well, what are you commissioners doing about this situation, then we have started the process. Do you understand what I'm saying, Eddie?
Yes, sir.
And do you think that's wrong or aggressive?
I think it's great if you can get everybody to read all the way through the code book. I think it's a good idea.
Well, you're going to read what I'm doing here. Is you're reading
as long as y'all don't fall asleep like nap time or something.
You're reading over the air.
Yes,
codes and regulations.
Okay.
When we see something that we think is questionable as a county commissioner, either one of us or both of us, then we can say, hold it, I'd like attention brought to that, and we can take it to the Planning and Zoning and see if they would be willing to reword it, re-explain it, or something.
And before we start, James, I know you're here to speak. I don't know if there'll be a time or not, so I mean,
I'm not here to speak.
Oh, you're just here to listen in.
I'm here to talk about some of this stuff that's not right.
Okay. No problem.
Well, if it's not
I've got one direct conflict with the statute.
Okay.
Wait a second. If it's not in the first 10 pages, I'm not interested in hearing it today.
It's in page 16.
Ah, right. Shoo!
But you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, but are you going to discuss definitions?
Well,
takes up your first 10 pages.
Well, it's hard to say. I mean, I guess we'll just have to go along as it is, and we're not going to decide anything today. Really, I think the point is we're trying to identify issues within our current code book. And then
the next 10 pages will be at a later date. We've got a schedule that's already started. The next 10 pages, which those issues that you're talking about on page 16.
I mean, we may even go to 15 and a half, but not 16, if James has got something on 16.
But anyway, that's where we're going. And look, we've got on-air listeners. We've got people that don't even know what the code book says
right. That
are going to be listening in. And so that's where I'm headed with this, to try to get a clarification of the first 10 pages, and then we don't have all three commissioners. I'd like for everybody to be present.
Should you inform your general public, all they've got to do is go online. That's where I'm printing my
book. Right. The code book is online on the website. It's under PDF form. If you have a hard time finding it, you can always call the commission office or planning and zoning. They can tell you exactly where it is within the website, but it is definitely there for people to view and read and print out if they choose to print out. One thing I did, I mean, just as an overall comment, Eddie, that I've got some people have come to me in the last, say, 2 weeks. They would like a better clarification when it's a county regulation versus a state regulation. It seems like some people, when people have talked to me, such as DNR reports, Department of Natural Resources permits, okay, people think that's a county-driven reason. Or when you do a lot split and it's less than 40 acres, do you need a survey? Do you not need a survey? So there's some confusion of what is a county regulation and what are we just basically passing through from the state. So I haven't read the whole code book, so I'll admit that I haven't spent my time doing that. But throughout this entire process, as we revise it, if we can make sure it's real clear what is a state requirement and a county requirement, because it seems like some people are thinking if they get rid of, I mean, I've heard comments, well, if we get rid of county plan and zoning, we don't have to do this. I said, well, no, that's a state regulation. You still got to do it. And so that's part of where the, if we can, you know, in the back of our mind, we're trying to simplify. I think one thing I would say is I want to make this simplified. Now, we can't in certain areas. And then the other question I had asked last night when I had a P&Z meeting with a developer, if it's not addressed in the, this is the question. If it's not specifically addressed in the code book, is it acceptable to do or not acceptable to do? And that's the question that was asked to me, and I said, that's a great question, because if we don't address it, does that mean it's acceptable?
Well, if how can we permit anything if we don't have any guidelines to permit it?
Right.
I mean, that's just one area of thought there. There's a lot of things that we don't address in the code. We don't say specifically you can't grow marijuana, but we're not going to allow that either because we all know that's going to be against a lot of different rules,
right?
And everything. So, you know,
because right now duplex. I mean, we allow duplexes. I think what you're defining me as condo style duplexes,
or whole ownership in certain circumstances,
right? But the other style, we don't. So
right.
If we don't address it, does that mean it's
acceptable? Well, we don't have any provisions to permit it.
Right.
Well, I mean, we have no lot sizes or anything like that.
Okay.
So.
Fair enough. All right. So I assume we're going to start on page 5 because...
That's what I was just fixing to ask you, because unless you want to read the index.
I don't think the index. I think that's kind of a waste of time. So let's start with page 5.
Okay.
And...
Okay.
I'm trying to think here. I don't know if I want to get caught up a whole lot in the purposes and all that. Oh, here, what we can do is probably put it on the big screen. You need something from me?
Okay.
Do you
want me to pull it up?
Yes. On the Word doc. Can you get her the code book on the big screen first? On that one computer, if you would. Danny, we're going to get the big screen here. Or actually, here, I'll just do it. Just give me a plug. Give me the extension plug.
Right here. This guy, right. Yeah. Use that. And turn the big projector on. Oops. And then I can just put it on the big screen. And then push that button right there. You're going to push it? All right. You'll have to do it later because I'm going to be using my computer on the big screen here. So. There it is. Can you read that, Danny? Or maybe bigger?
We better go.
Bigger?
Something darker, bigger, or shut some of these lights.
Oh, it's going to get brighter in a second.
Yeah, it's good. That size is all right.
Is that all right? All right. You literally want him to read page by word by word, or you want him to just summarize by paragraph here?
Just go ahead.
Let me just read it.
Okay.
Word for word, guys, because I don't want people thinking that I've changed anything by my summary. This is page 5 of the Taney County Development Guidance Code, Taney County, Missouri. The Taney County Planning Commission hereby orders that no plat of any subdivision or land shall be recorded, and that no building or other structure shall be erected, constructed, reconstructed, or enlarged, nor the use of any land be changed without a permit issued pursuant to these codes. Number one, purpose. These codes are designed to manage the growth and development of Taney County so as to achieve the objectives authorized by law those being to conserve the natural resources of the county, to ensure efficient expenditure of its public funds, and promote the health, safety, convenience, prosperity, and general welfare of its inhabitants. And this references revised statute of Missouri 64.815.
Okay, let me stop right there. Now, what Jim was asking about that, this is a state statute, and this is voted up according to state statute, but the first paragraph that you commented on, that's just exactly what Jim was talking about. This has nothing to do with Taney County. This has to do with a state statute.
From the purpose perspective, we're using that statute as
right.
Yes, sir.
As the purpose.
And taking the and when this code book was written, it would be taking that to say, in the effort to conserve natural resources, to ensure efficient expenditure of public
right.
funds, everything like that. Now, I'm sure that the county and some of this has expanded on that. So, but that's where the authority
right.
is coming from.
The authority is coming through that statute.
Right. Right. Okay.
To provide for the proper location and size of streets, building lines, open spaces, safety, recreation, and for the avoidance of congestion, including minimum width and area of lots in subdivision, according to revised statute 64.825. Now, again, that statute is going to say probably something to the effect that you have the okay to do that. How you set
yep.
those is...
Right.
To conserve and to protect property and building values, to secure the most economical use of the land, and to facilitate the adequate provisions of public improvements, according to, again, Missouri State Statute 64.850. And then the note, these general statutorily authorized purposes have been expanded to specific policy statements in Section 11. Number two, definitions. Absolute policy. Absolute policy is a requirement of the code that, if not met or satisfied, will result in the application for a permit being rejected. Accessory use or structure. A structure or use that, A, is clearly incidental to clearly incidental to and customarily found in connection with a principal building or use. B, is subordinate to and serves a principal building or use. C, is subordinate in area, extent, or purpose to the principal building or use served. D, contributes to the comfort, convenience, or necessity of occupants, business, or industry in the principal building or use served. And E, is located on the same lot, site, or property as the principal building or use served. Administrative approval.
Wait, any questions? That's good enough definition. Just making sure if there's, as you take a breath. Okay, go ahead.
If I start reading too fast, let me know.
No, that's all right.
Administrative approval, any approval or decision that can be performed by the designated official in the Planning and Zoning Office without requiring the approval of the Planning Commission.
Okay, Ms. Gordon.
Adult entertainment business, an establishment used for presenting material, selling material, or featuring entertainment that is distinguished or characterized by an emphasis on displaying, depicting, describing, or relating to sexual activities or anatomical areas that are sexual in nature and which excludes minors by virtue of age. Agricultural, the production, keeping, or maintenance for sale, lease, or personal use of plants and animals useful to man.
Stop there. Bob, as overtime legal, no, you're fine. Overtime in court cases, the agriculture, if I'm not mistaken, has been further defined. Would it not be a good time to add any additional statutes or court cases that have further defined agriculture? Because I think some of the problems I've heard is, go ahead, Eddie, you've got something in your hand?
I have a state statute, 137.
What I would do at that point is make sure we insert the statute there, if you would make a note of that.
Well, can I?
You wouldn't necessarily want to use a tax statute.
No, I'm just going to tell you what it said in case you wanted any
okay.
part of that or
go
anything.
Ahead. I mean, go
but
ahead.
If you don't.
No, go ahead.
Agriculture and horticultural property, and all real property used for agricultural purposes and devoted primarily to the raising and harvesting of crops, to the feeding, breeding, and management of livestock, which shall include breeding, showing, boarding of horses to dairying, or to any other combination thereof, and buildings and structures customarily associated with farming, agricultural, and horticultural uses. Agricultural and horticultural property shall also include land devoted to and qualifying for payments and other compensations under soil conservation. But this is the statute for the assessor, I believe.
And I think it's important for us because it seems like through the conversations we've had public hearing-wise, a lot of it stems back to agricultural uses. I mean, if I think back, a lot of people saying, I have agricultural property, and you're telling me what to do with it. I think if we can help define what is agriculture and what our jurisdiction over agricultural property is, that may alleviate some of the pains and confusion that we have out there right now is, you know, what is our jurisdiction over agriculture? What is agriculture? You know, I think that the more we can define it early on, I think that would be a benefit. Now, Danny, go ahead.
You think that what you're saying, Jim, is the problem that we have is the exemption of agriculture, and we need a description of what's agricultural, and it says in this thing what it is. That needs to be implemented into the code.
It does. I think the code book is trying to weed out non-agricultural uses. I don't think we're trying to overstep our boundary. The problem is, as you define it, we may have overstepped boundaries. Not saying we did, but that's a clear area that seems to be real sensitive to a lot of the complaints we've heard is, do we even have jurisdiction over the agriculture that we've extended our jurisdiction too far? So I just would like, you know, in this definition, somehow we better clarify that.
As I was reading this, it does talk about residential structures that, mm-hmm. that on agricultural land they're residential structures
mm-hmm.
and everything. So what we've done here is when we say agricultural land, if you want to build a house on it, we would say yes, you need a permit because that's a residential use.
Even the assessor assesses the
right. That's correct. So
right.
Yeah. Anything up to 5 acres. I don't think he has to do all 5 acres of it as residential, but up to so.
Anyway, I just make a point of that. Go ahead.
So on that one, we'll...
that wouldn't be... Let me clarify that because there seems to be some confusion there, and unless that's a state statute. You can have you can have a truck patch or anything on less than 5 acres of ground. You could You could own a residential structure that would be that wouldn't be have anything to do with the assessor other than the residential part of the building, but the acre or 2 acres can be agricultural design because it says that anything to do with selling of a product
right.
as far as truck patch or anything like that. And I think that's where some of the confusion is because we get into limitations of acreages, and the only ones that I'm interested in trying to look at on that situation to make a change on is the ones that go to limiting the state statute whenever it says a 5 acre tract on 40 acres. That doesn't mean that if they're going to that they have it surveyed off that we have to put it in a stinking plat of 6 acres or whatever minimal.
Right. My question was, has there been any legal that you define a minimum size of an agricultural zone property? There's nothing been decided that?
I don't think so, but I'd have to look.
Okay. Would you put that down as your action item? Because, I mean, that's really what I got to know. Is if there's some statute that's been defined of what is minimum agriculture, then we need to line up our code with what the state says.
Mm-hmm.
And if not, then we obviously just go on. But, okay. Moving on.
Amended plat. An existing plat that is updated to correct errors and or to provide classification of information, but not to change the original content and intent of the plat, such as to increase density, change property subdivisions, change the locations of roadways, etc.
Okay.
Applicant, the person completing and submitting a formal request for a permit.
Bob, that's a Bob word.
Yes, it is a Bob word. Bob, how do you
put top
it?
Word.
Appurtenance.
There you go.
An item or property that is considered incidental or is in addition to the principal property, such as a shed, deck, porch, carport, etc. Base plane. The highest point where ground level adjoins the structure, where any finished ground level slopes away from the exterior walls at the highest point, The base plane shall be measured from the ground level 6 feet from the structure exterior wall. That was part of our height ordinance that went in a couple years ago.
Lots of debate on this definition, hours and hours and hours.
And to my knowledge, we've never used it. So, I mean, we've never had occasion to even use that.
That's not been challenged. Have you, Danny, from all your years as commissioner, have you heard any complaints since this debate of the base plane that we need to even address?
None other than the height ordinance itself.
Right.
We'll state this. I was going to state this in the meeting tomorrow night. We had a commissioner whose family had one of the highest structures in the county that voted on height restrictions. That is a very upsetting to me that someone, and then they want to grandfather theirs in and keep everybody else restricted.
Right.
So.
Move on.
Bed and breakfast. A family home occupied as a permanent dwelling by the proprietor that contains no more than 4 guest rooms where lodging with or without meals is provided for compensation.
And that's...
That falls under the special use permits that we do with home occupations, anything like that, where it doesn't change the residential nature of the neighborhood or the structure and everything, but it does allow them to run a business out of that home.
Would you mind putting something there that requires a special use permit? That way, and that helps define if someone needs bed and breakfast, they know where to...
Isn't that also somewhere else?
When you get back further in the book, it talks about when permits are required and stuff like that.
Oh, it does? Okay. Yeah. Well, let's keep on going.
This is just
definition. Keep on going.
What do you have, Bob?
It also requires the person who owns the bed and breakfast...
Has to live on site.
That's our definition then?
Yeah.
So then we need to add that to our definition.
That is our definition, and we have denied some because the proprietor didn't live there.
And where did the word four guest rooms come from?
I'm going to have to refer you to a lot of things when the code book was written.
Do we care how many guest rooms? I'm just asking. I mean,
I personally do not care.
On Fall Creek Road, that was more than 4 bedrooms.
Sure. But it was not permitted as a special use. It became a commercial operation.
Okay.
They're saying at this level, what they do is they're saying this can go in a neighborhood.
So this is a residential.
It's a home-based business.
Home-based business, residential bed and breakfast.
It's not a land use change. It's
right.
A special use.
So you're saying if it's more than 4, you would go through the commercial.
Right
zoning.
Now, there's some requirements when you get back into the special use for bed and breakfast that'll talk about parking and how many employees you can have.
You call yourself a bed and breakfast, but basically you'd be a hotel.
Gotcha.
Right.
All right.
And we've run into that, and that's been a very, that's been brought up to P&Z several mm-hmm. times, and is it the Poverty Point area? And
mm-hmm.
I can think of 2 cases that was real controversial.
Right.
The one there in Poverty Point, yes, sir.
Yeah, because we had... bed and breakfast, and I'm just like you. I don't know where we come up with 4 guest bedrooms.
It's probably because it's
you'll find a lot of things in the code book. You had to establish something.
So,
like our minimum lot size for on sewer, we'll say it's 8,000 square feet. Well, that's something that was agreed upon by whoever. I don't know.
Let me ask you this question: could we not define this as a residential bed and breakfast? That's what this definition is: a residential bed and breakfast.
You can call it whatever you want to call it. What we've differentiated between the two is, and the reason you have this particular definition is because it's defining the area of a special use permit. Okay, and if it doesn't meet that special use, then it has to go Division 3, which is land use change.
Okay, but I'm just saying, when we say 4, we're specifically saying it's in a residential area, basically.
The 4 is just an arbitrary number that was settled on years ago. I don't know.
Okay.
But you could have one of these.
But that's not our definition overall in the whole county. We're not saying if you're a bed and breakfast and you have 5 bedrooms, you're not a bed and breakfast anymore. We're saying you're not.
No, that's correct. But if you have 5 bedrooms, you don't qualify as it reads right now for a special use permit. So it would be a land use change, resulting as a commercial license.
And that's better defined further in the code book.
If you cannot meet, yeah, when it talks in special use, if you cannot meet the requirements of a special use permit, you have to go through a
so
land use change.
So it is defined later, bed and breakfast, okay.
Yeah, there's a section in there.
But I'm going to go back to what you said, Jim. What's wrong with putting residential bed and breakfast?
I would do because that definition's for residential special use.
And that's fine. I'm just telling you why it is.
Let's make that change. Or at least
recommendations.
We're making recommendations, obviously not changing anything. These are just recommendations for you guys to consider. But it seems like that definition is specifically to special use residential areas. All right. BOA. Eddie?
Board of Adjustment, an officially constituted body whose principal duties are to hear appeals and, where appropriate, to grant variances from the strict application of the Tecumseh County Development Guidance Code, according to referenced state statute number 64870.
Okay.
Now, I had a question the other day come from people ask about BOE, BOA, planning and zoning, and then they ask what the official duties were of BOA. And I tried to explain, and that's pretty well just off the top of my head exactly what I said to them, but they didn't understand that. They thought that they overrode or I told them the only way that BOA is supposed to come into is there if there's a controversial hearing settlement, I guess would be the term. I don't know what that exactly there's some controversial issue that applies. Is that the only time they're available?
BOA has two functions. First of all, is to hear aggrieved parties concerning a decision made by the Planning Commission. Whether I was the one that made the application and didn't get the decision I wanted, or whether I was somebody there who didn't want the decision to go the way it went.
That's the way it works under our code. The state statute actually says to hear appeals from decisions they're aggrieved by that are made by code enforcement officials. However,
right.
The way our code is set up, it's right. Either that or the Planning and Zoning Commission.
Right. They would have the right if somebody came into our office and we issued a permit for them to build. That's a decision made by the administrative branch of this department. They could appeal that if they would so choose.
But here's a question for you, though. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Here's my question. Is this thing causes a lot of confusion with what the duties of the Board of Adjustment is when we have had cases that have went before P&Z that have like been an 8-1 or a large number of people that voted in P&Z, and then it goes and is overturned in the Board of Adjustment. It's that kind of
the Board of Adjustment is supposed to determine if there was an error made in process or law.
That's what I thought it was. An error in process or law is the way that I understood this. That's the only time it applies.
It's the way our code is set up. The way most codes are set up is that you have zones, and in those zones you can do certain things. And somebody comes in and says, I want a permit to do this in that zone. And the code official, the person at the Planning and Zoning Department, says, wait a minute.